We're the Hours, and this song is called I Wanna Be Happy.
One, two, three, four.
Broadcasting live from NoHo 2 Studio, NoHo2.com. It is the Enter the Shell show, and I am joined by all the members of the Hours, or did someone just leave, right?
Someone just left. Yeah, they left. That's music for you, man. In this day and age, you know, people just leave. No, we're here. This is us. This is Richard to my right. This is Martin to my left, and I'm Ant.
Hell yeah, man. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, man.
Dude, so you guys just came off of a crazy week. In my opinion, maybe to you guys it's just a normal week, but to me it's pretty crazy. You guys did South by Southwest, and then from there you guys did a little TV with some Carson Daly, and now you guys are here, and then you guys are going to go perform a show. How tired and exhausted are you guys?
You missed out. We flew to New York and did a show there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and a TV show there. And a bit of radio. And some juggling.
And juggling. Do you juggle professionally?
Do I? Hell, kidding. He hates jugglers and dogs on a string, don't you?
Magicians.
No? Yeah.
Magicians. It's magicians he hates, yeah.
Liars.
I think David Blaine's good. He just thinks all magicians are liars.
They're not liars, more that they are just crafty individuals, I think.
Yeah. Which is another term for liar.
It's a lot more cooler.
But yeah, it's pretty crazy. We're pretty tired, but you know, music is a very energizing thing, man. It's like a drug. So, you know, I'm addicted to it.
Is that your drug right now, music?
Yeah, it's definitely the only drug that I'm into these days, you know.
Yeah.
It keeps me sane, man, music. All different kinds of music, whatever it is.
I like the Hours philosophy, which is that you guys mean every note and you guys are very sincere about your music. Is this some sort of new religion that you've started, or?
I don't think we started it.
No?
I wouldn't like to lay claim to that, would you?
No, it's been around a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, we just, the music business is a strange thing. It's a strange beast, you know. It's full of, you know, marketing and this and that and the other. And unfortunately, we're lucky and we get loads of great things out of it. And the music business has produced a lot of great things. But we like to think that there's people in this world who are music and there's people who are business. And we're people who are music.
So you guys are horrible at business.
Yeah, but fortunately, we've got, you know, a great manager who's great at business, you know, and that's cool. So there you go. But, you know, it's all about music, really. And actually, he's all about music, so... Mm-hmm. But yeah, we mean it. Every note, every beat, every syllable. We ain't bullshitting you. It's just how it is, man. You know, it's just how it is. We're tell it like it is, you know.
I know you guys have been around the music scene for quite some time, and you've been able to see it evolve into kind of this stage in the game. But at the same time, did you see it evolve, or not even evolve, kind of devolve? Because independent bands had been around forever. You know, it wasn't until the record label industry kind of got in the business around the 80s that it was quote unquote profitable.
Mm.
And then it no longer is, unless you're the artist, because basically the fans come to you and they buy the tickets. And now the album is more of a promo item. Like, hey, these are the songs that we're going to be shopping around, you know, and play on tour.
You know, I think it goes back much, much further than the music business, you know, than the before records. You know, being a musician is, it's a jobbing lifestyle, you know. Mozart was buried in an unmarked grave at 35 years old, you know. Beethoven, he just kind of did his thing. He wasn't living in mansions, you know what I mean? He made money out of music, but, you know, Marlon, they never made any money out of his compositions, you know, going back a long time ago and before that. And so... truth is that the kind of phenomenon of being a rock star and driving around in limos and living in big houses is a modern thing. And you know, I'm afraid to say the truth of the matter is, if you get loads of stuff out of music, it's harder to make music, it seems. You know, not to say that people don't do it, because they do. But when I was in a band when I was a kid, the idea of a massive band to me was the Smiths. You know, and you know, they used to go in the charts at number 28 or something. Mm. We were impressed with a band like The Wedding Present, who could sell out Sheffield Lower Refectory on a Thursday night to 400 people. I was like, wow, that's incredible. And then, you know, in recent years, indie music, as you say, has been kind of championed and taken over by the music fraternity, the music business, the people that do the marketing, the people who see the pounds, dollars, and cents. And maybe that's distorted it a little. I think in the modern day and age, you got to make a choice. Do you want to make music because it, you know, you live and breathe it, and it, you know, comes out of every pore of your body and it runs in your blood? Or do you want to make music for money? If you want to make money, man, get a job in a bank. Be a lawyer, be a doctor, be something other than that. You know, I don't really care about money, man.
How much money do you have?
Very little. I've got a lot of debt, if I'm honest. You know?
Really?
I mean, I have a flat, but I've got a mortgage, and they're always threatening to take it off me. And, you know, I keep getting red letters. But, you know, man, I don't keep on top of that thing, you know? I mean, I ain't thinking, oh, I must pay that bill. I'm thinking I must write that tune.
Is that a lot of pressure? Because you're like, I have to write a tune. I have to do something immediately to stop kind of, not necessarily this bad stuff, but just to stop kind of the whole financial and money situation.
Yeah, money's boring, isn't it? I think we're all bored by money. The boredom of, particularly in the modern age, where you know, in recent years where everyone's having it so hard, man. I don't know anyone that's making money. You know, even the guys that make a lot of money aren't making a lot of money anymore. It seems.
Man.
Who cares? You know, have you ever heard this story, right? Do you ever hear a story of a guy who, when he was dying, a really rich guy, he asked for all the money to be taken out of the bank and brought around him around his deathbed and asked for his family to be removed from the room and be presented with all his money? Did you ever hear that story?
No.
Exactly. You know why? Because it's dumb. And if it's dumb at the end, then it's dumb in the middle. So why are you spending your life chasing, you know, it amazes me that people feel really comfortable and strong and great about themselves when they've got lots of rectangular pieces of paper piled up in a room with a thick lock and a thick wall and a big lock guarded by men with guns. That is insane to me. You know, while those guys are working hard, getting up at 5 a.m. doing that, we're relaxing in bed.
Yeah.
Then we get up in, you know, a little bit later and make some music and, you know. Exactly, open the red letters, try and avoid the bailiffs, but, you know, it is what it is, man, you know. I don't care about that nonsense. Do you care about that nonsense?
Never have, never will.
Richard?
Yeah.
Someone has to, I mean, come on.
Exactly.
I know when you're not kind of doing the musician thing, you guys are kind of doing the producer thing as well.
We haven't done that for a while, really.
Why? Did you not find joy in that?
In the end, did you find much joy in it? I mean, in the end, I got to do some interesting things. You know, I got to work with orchestras and write string arrangements and work with cool people and make music with some great musicians. But
you're always making someone else's music at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And you want to go somewhere and they want to go somewhere else and it's like, well, it's their thing. So,
yeah,
you know, it's a battle. It's a battle to make music anyway. It's a battle to have another battle with someone else while you're trying to make it. It's too much like hard work.
You just rather focus on your own stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, you're giving a lot of stuff away as well, aren't you? It's like, you know, it's funny the idea of a producer, like, I don't know, Phil Ramone, as he called, a guy back in the day would, like, you know, get the band together and be around and sort of, you know, put something together for an artist. We've grown up in the era of producers, being musicians, making the music, doing and all that. So it's like, you know, the idea of just constantly making music for other people and trying to make other people sound good, it's really started to wear off, you know.
And I just thought, well, I'm going to die.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, my dad died when I was 30. And after that, a lot of other people died that I know. And it made me realize, oh, my God, I'm going to die. It's like, I never really thought about that before. I thought I was going to live forever. So, you know, I kind of thought, rather than spend my life helping other people do their thing, you've got to do your own thing. Even if your thing is just a little thing, I think you've got to do it, you know. It's cool to do other things. It's cool to work with other bands and be a musician and do other things. But I think you always got to have your little thing going if you're a musician. Otherwise, you know, you can feel like you're missing out or something, or you're missing out on telling your story. And at the end, you got to sing your own song, man, metaphorically and physically.
So you're not always thinking about death. That just is not in your brain.
Always thinking about death?
Yeah.
I'm always thinking about life, man. You know,
yeah.
You got to know that death's out there to think about life. You know, experiencing death close up. My dad died in my arms. You know, and strangely enough, my hair went curly after that. And that's not even a lie, is it?
Yeah.
My dad died in my arms, and he had really curly hair. And after that, my hair went curly. That's a fact.
That's all he left you.
Yeah, that's all he left me, because I had to pay for the funeral, the sandwiches, the hotel, the coffin, his suit in the coffin, the whole deal, the nurses. But hey, that's okay. I love you, Dad, wherever you are. But yeah, I mean, what was I saying? Am I thinking about death? You know, you got to know that death's there to live life, man. Otherwise, you know, you go, I'll do it tomorrow. Forget that. Doing it tomorrow? You'll be dead tomorrow, brother.
Is that why you take kind of that philosophy and that concept and you put it into your music? And your music is just so happy. It's so, like, for example, Ali in the Jungle, that song is just so epic. And it makes me want to get up, and it makes me want to not necessarily start a riot or invoke anything bad, but I want to...
Riots are good, man.
It depends. Like, I'm Mexican, so, like, a lot of riots that I've been at never end up good. It's a lot of pillaging,
yeah, okay,
and plundering, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But going back to all of that, you know, like, what was I talking about?
You're talking about...
Ali in the Jungle.
Ali in the Jungle. It's extremely inspirational. I just got lost on a tangent.
That's all right. We like tangents.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a very inspirational song. So you put all that effort into your music, and it shows. And was that intentional?
Well, I mean, music is a form of communication, and it just spews out, and it is what it is, man. You know, I mean, like, it's not something we think, oh, what should we write a song about today, Martin? What do you think? I don't know. Perhaps trainers or food or ice hockey.
Boxers.
Yeah, I don't know. But we just think you got to write about what you feel in that moment. You know, there are great musicians that don't write about things in that way, but that's what I do. I am what I am, you know. You can only be what you are in life, man. Otherwise, you get found out. You know, so I am that kind of guy. You know, slice myself open, have a look inside if you want. You know, or not.
Yeah.
Have a look inside someone else or whatever. But that's the kind of thing that I've always been drawn to and been into, is people who really spew and are emotional like that. So what you see is what you get, man.
I like that. I'm like, I'm a little off put right now just because you are so real and you are, and I mean that with like you guys. Like, you guys are very, like, there's this aura about you guys that I just want to connect with you guys. I just, you know, want
to
just.
I'm connected to you.
You
dude.
Are.
Are you not connected to me?
I am.
Sit over here. Let's have a little cuddle.
Dude, I'm down. Like, I'm totally down. And we'll get it on film and everything. But it's just this energy from you guys is I can't explain it. I'm like feeling it. It's like crawling up my vertebrae. It's ridiculous. It's awesome. Do you bring that energy when you're performing on stage?
I bring that energy when I'm, you know, taking a shit. You know, to me, it is what it is. You got one choice to make in this life, dude. Are you going to be a positive force or a negative force? And it's hard to be a positive force because it takes energy and it takes balls. And sometimes it's difficult to get the energy to do that kind of thing. But, you know, we love playing, man. You know, we're making music. We're out in LA. You know, we're on a radio show. People want to listen to something that we've got to say, even if it's only one person, if it's only you. That's good enough for me, brother.
Shit, I love it. I love it. I'll tell you what. We are going to go into the celebrity corner because I'm curious to see where you guys, your thoughts on kind of the notion of celebrity and stuff. But I'll tell you what. We're going to hear another song from you guys, and then we're going to go into the celebrity corner. We are going to hear Icarus and By the Hours. And we'll have more right here on the End of the Shell show. Yeah. Go ahead and
check this out, right?
Yeah. It'll be nice.
I'll do a little fill.
Yeah, do it.
Bit back that style. Okay.
I contributed to that, by the way.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's one of the highlights of my career so far.
Yeah.
Misanthrope for a dad who crushed any hope he might have had when he was just a boy. Clothed in a cloak of bitterness, he wandered through the wilderness in search of something to destroy. Like Icarus, he flew too close to the sun. Well, I can understand how someone can go over to the dark side, 'cause the devil, he's got all the tunes. And somebody once said, if you're not living on the edge, then you are taking up too much room. Like Icarus, he flew too close to the sun. I know he fell, but for a while there, he must have had some. Such confusion, contradiction, and delusion.
all can have a heavy heart. It's a certain symbiosis, paranoia feeds psychosis. It can cause a man to fall apart.
Actually, The Hours, you could catch them on their website, thehours.co.uk, and there you can join their Facebook, their Twitter, and all that good fun stuff.
Come and join us. Be our friend.
Please. Please do. Please. Because I want to be your guys' friend. What are you guys doing after?
Playing a gig. You coming?
Yes. I'm taking everyone with me. It's going to be fun.
Beautiful.
So the idea of, or the notion of celebrity, I'm curious your thoughts on.
Yeah, it's nonsense. It's an absolute, total, and utter load of toss. From top to bottom. Particularly in the modern age. I mean, it's a modern phenomenon, celebrity, of course. You know, I saw that Elizabeth Taylor Digest, and they were saying, oh, she was really the tabloid queen. She was the beginning of something, you know, blah, 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 blah. And why was she the beginning of something? Not because of her art, but because of her husband's and because of her lifestyle, an extravagant kind of gregarious addiction to jewels and things like that. It's absolute nonsensical bullshit.
What are your real thoughts?
You know, and it permeates every single part of modern society. And, you know, you get kids these days, you go, what do you want to do when you grow up? And they say, I want to be famous. I said, no, I didn't say that. I said, what do you want to do? I said, I don't care. I just want to be famous. It's stupid. It's transient and it's temporary. It's nonsense. That's what I think about celebrity.
Wow. Do you consider yourself a celebrity?
Absolutely not. 100% no. But, you know, if we were to become big and famous and successful out here or wherever and... then people feed celebrity, people feed into it. You can be a successful musician, and you know, Jarvis Cocker, who's a good friend of mine, he gets on the tube in England. You feed that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can go to the magazines and you can get married in it, and you can take all the dough.
It's disgusting. You know, it makes me want to spew all over.
Good actors like Edward Norton and people like that. They're big actors, big movies. That you don't see them in magazines, and they do their thing, you know. And
yeah, they do it on the quiet, you know. I mean, I think that often these days people, what really annoys me is, and I know that some people do it to get money to do interesting projects, but like. You know, you see these actresses selling perfume. They're all selling perfume or makeup. It's like, well, are you an actress? Are you a mod? What are you, man? You know what I mean? Decide what you are. It's just like, well, I couldn't turn down the extra $3 million. Yeah. Hold on a minute. You got paid $9 million to do that movie, and you've done three movies this year. What the hell is wrong with you? I know George Clooney sells coffee, but I also know that George Clooney makes movies, and I know that he puts money into his movies and stuff like that. And so, you know, obviously, there's different kind of levels of it. But... it's a complex subject, because it's so much of part of modern culture, so you can't obviously blanketly say everyone that does that kind of thing is stupid, but I mean, I don't want to do it. It feeds something, and people get addicted to it, you know. I mean, you know, Paris Hilton, I mean, God bless her, you know, she doesn't stand a chance, you know. What is she? You know, people have their 5 minutes. You know, Andy Warhol said in the future everyone will be famous for 15 minutes. Mm. And then Banksy did this great piece, which is a television set, which is actually owned by a friend of mine. And it says, in the future, everyone will be anonymous for 15 minutes. It seems that that's the way these days. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And people live out their lives on the cameras, like Charlie Sheen. He's obviously having a breakdown of some kind, even though he seems to think that he's in a good zone. You know,
he's getting what he wants, and he's making money off of it.
Yeah, but I mean, he doesn't need any money. He's getting what he wants, man. I mean, I'd hate to get all therapy on you, but what does he want? He wants some love in his life. You know, look at him. Does that guy look happy?
When I see him with those two porn stars, yes, I do.
And come on, man.
When he's on TV.
Temporary, brother. That's not happiness. That's high. He's high. He's not happy. Begins with the same letter, but it's a totally different thing. It's an inside job, not an outside job. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know Charlie Sheen. Maybe he's having the time of his life. I mean, who am I to judge, you know, at the end of the day? Maybe he is. But the thing is, he's living out all that stuff on camera. It's insanity. And that just wouldn't have existed years ago. So, you know, he wouldn't have been able to feed the frenzy. And, you know, he's kind of trapped within it. I feel for the guy. I don't think he's happy. Does he look happy to you? He looks healthy. He looks unhealthy. He looks like he's going to die. He looks like he's gone. I don't know what drug he's on, but I can hazard a guess.
You know, I heard of a phone interview. He was on Howard Stern, and he sounded 100% like legit, and he wasn't throwing any of his, you know, crazy sayings.
Yeah, you want me to tell you what he does for a living?
Yeah,
tell me. He's an actor. just next time he comes across as someone who's kind of talking and got it under control and all that stuff, just bear in mind that he has spent his whole life as an actor, and just in case that wasn't enough, his dad is also an actor. So, you know, maybe he's acting there.
But his dad was a great actor, and I saw Hot Shots Part 1 and Part 2, and it was tongue-in-cheek, and Navy SEALs, come on. Like, I couldn't believe him as a superhero, you know what I mean? As an action guy. I just couldn't buy it.
Who? Martin Sheen?
Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's an actor, man. It's a business. Hollywood's a business, you know? And it's not all about art. It's not all about Francis Ford Coppola going into the jungle and making art, you know?
Yeah.
It's a business. It's about commerce. You know, I'm sure Hot Shots 1 and 2 made money. I'm sure Hot Shots must have made money, otherwise Hot Shots 2 wouldn't have been made.
I think there was a 3.
You know, and Two and a Half Men's the biggest show in the world, isn't it? So
apparently, but it goes to the fact that I've never seen it, and the people that I talk to, I've never seen it either. It's kind of like a Spice Girls thing.
I've seen it. It's pretty good. But, you know, the truth is, man, it's very simple. At the end of your life, it's not about what you had. It's about what you did.
How do you want to be remembered?
It's all irrelevant. Also, it's all gone. There's no pockets in the shroud, brother. So it doesn't matter how much he's getting for Two and a Half Men. When he dies, someone else is going to get it. So you may as well spend your life doing something that makes you feel like you're doing something. You know, I don't know. Charlie Sheen, I mean, we're talking about Charlie Sheen, but, you know, I don't know. Don't look happy to me, mate. Maybe he is happy. I don't know. Let's meet back here in 5 years, see how he's rolling. I've seen that movie before. You know, I'm sure John Belushi thought he was having a great time as well. You know, I'm sure he did. I'm sure Jimi Hendrix had a wicked night and he thought, God, this red wine's really good. I'm going to drink a lot of it tonight. These pills are great. Janis Joplin, yeah, this is fantastic, man. It's amazing. I'm sure Elvis loved those peanut butter sandwiches. You know, were they having a good time? I don't think so. You know, me personally, I don't want to die like Elvis.
Yeah, on the shitter.
Exactly. I don't want to die like Elvis.
And I'm curious what you think about the Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters, I think that they are, first of all, brilliant people. Lovely, lovely geezers. Mm-hmm. Dave Grohl, nicest man in rock. Incredibly talented. I think Dave Grohl's an incredibly talented songwriter. I don't like it when Dave gives it the old bah stuff. I went to see Foo Fighters the other week in London in Dingwalls. It was a powerful show, man. I prefer it when he does the acoustic stuff, don't you? You know, but he's such a graceful musician, Dave Grohl. And all the musicians in the band are great. Chris Shiflett's amazing guitar player.
Who's the drummer? Is it Taylor Hicks?
Taylor Hawkins. And I saw him the other night. I always thought Taylor hit the drums too hard.
Uh-huh.
But I saw him the other night, and I think he calmed down a bit. Maybe it got round that I'd said that. No, but I mean, or maybe you just watch Dave. Dave doesn't hit them that hard. No. Hitting drums hard is a myth. It sounds horrible. John Bonham didn't hit the drums hard. Keith Moon didn't hit the drums hard.
He just hit them just right.
Hitting just right, man. All that's theatre. He's going. Any classy drummer does that, brother. Let me tell you. You watch Keith Moon play drums. Filming from there, it looks like he's staying at home watching TV or doing the ironing.
Well, Dave Grohl, he's been actually. Pissed at Glee. I don't know if you guys are aware of Glee.
Yeah.
Well, they asked him, and Glee has been lately getting snubbed when going and asking all these different musicians and artists to use their music.
I know that they asked Damon Albarn if they could use Gorillaz track, and said, I don't want people to come to our music through Glee, which I thought was a fair enough point. Although, interestingly enough, he doesn't mind people coming to his music through British Gas, which a Blur song is on British TV. Truth be told, though, it works really good, and it makes me want to buy gas from British Gas. And it's a great song. So, but I know what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting what's going on right now, kind of just with Glee, where, you know, other musicians are finding kind of new life when Glee brings or breathes into their music and stuff like that. Are you opposed to stuff like that?
I think it's easy for Dave to say that. You know, it's easy for Dave Grohl to sit in his mansion. I'm not dissing Dave Grohl, right. Just so you know, but it's very easy for him to say, yeah, Glee, I'm not putting my music on Glee. For a musician that's, you know, maybe about to get dropped or they sign a publishing deal, they can't repay the publishing deal, and then someone says, do you want a song on Glee? And, you know, it's just something that someone, other producers or someone in Glee wants to put it on there, and, you know, maybe they can get a career, maybe they can make another record, or maybe they can go out and play their music, then it's a whole different story, man. Music has changed. It's not like it was.
So he passing judgment on others, or he's just saying it for himself? They're two different things as well, aren't they, really? That was a question to you, by the way.
Is Dave Grohl passing judgment on others through it?
No, I don't think he is. I think, you know...
Then he's perfectly within his rights to do what the fuck he wants with his music.
Yeah. He's just doing what he's doing. He's
Listen,
just like
man,
if you're asking
fine.
Me a question, if you want to ask me the question, if Glee said to me, "Can we use Ali in the Jungle?" I'd probably say yeah, because I know that what where that would go for us. It would give us some money, more money to make more music, because that's all we do. You know, we did a commercial that Ali in the Jungle was used on a Nike commercial, and it allowed us in part to make a new record, which quite simply would not exist if we hadn't have done that thing with Nike. You know, Radiohead don't have to do that. You know, Foo Fighters don't have to do that. They don't have to ask them. They never have to ask themselves that question. Would they do that? You know. Plus, it was a dope commercial. So
yeah, it was.
It was pretty simple to say yes to that. You know, if it was, you know, Lockheed Martin's, you know, corporate thing about, you know, these are the new bombs or stealth fighters that were going to go and destroy Iraq and Afghanistan and whatever other country we fancy. You know, can we use Ali in the Jungle for it? Then, you know, maybe I'd be a bit pissed at that. To inspire the troops, yeah.
Everybody gets knocked down and no fucker ever gets up again.
Exactly. You know, but I remember that Rock the Casbah was used, you know, in the military or something like that. I heard that they were playing Rock the Casbah. I don't think Joe was particularly happy with that.
Yeah, let's talk about 120 minutes. I don't know if you guys are a fan of that old TV show, but they're bringing it back. That's with Matt Pinfield. That was when MTV used to play videos and didn't go all kind of where they are now with the reality TV and stuff like that. I get it. It's cheap to produce. But at the same time, Matt Pinfield, I think, he came on the scene and he kind of helped expose even more bands, you know, to the public. And I think we need more of that. We need more of these, you know, shows that are gonna not necessarily show the Lady Gagas, but show people like The Hours and like the Steelwells and people like that. You know, there needs to be more of that, and I'm just really excited that 120 Minutes is back. Did you guys ever play 120 Minutes or ever?
No, but I'm guessing from what you've just said to me, it sounds like it's a great thing. It sounds like it's someone who, you know, it sounds like it's a music lover putting music on that he loves. It's good enough for me, brother.
That's exactly what it is. Exactly you
know,
what it is.
You know, I mean. You know, as I said before, there's the music and there's music business, and it's, and you know, bands that I love that are really kind of, like, we're big fans of the Flaming Lips, you know, who seem to kind of operate somehow navigate that whole world of the music business and just being part of something that they've created. And I think that shows like 120 Minutes sound like they're the things that let bands like that feed into that world and get exposure. And that can only be a good thing, right? It's hard to get out there unless you're... A major label won't sign you unless they think that you're going to sell a million records or two, in America probably 2 or 3 million records. They just won't sign you. So that means that your music has to be of a certain nature, you know, but... And also the bad thing about modern times is that it doesn't allow bands to grow and nurture. I mean, nurture bands like... You know, REM's big breakthrough song was on their 7th album. You know, if you sign to a major and your second single doesn't go, it's over. And you might be 18 years old just doing a simple little song, but you know, don't forget the same band that wrote, "Girl, I need your loving, yes, I know it's true," which is fundamentally rubbish. You know, are the same band that wrote, "I read the news today, oh boy," which is fundamentally one of the greatest pieces of art ever created on planet Earth by human hands and minds, in my opinion. So, strange times we live in, but you got to fight through it all, you know, find a way.
But that's the beauty of the internet, because now bands can basically, they don't need labels anymore. Labels are now just kind of your promotion vehicle these days. And they're going to, you know, endure a lot of the cost too, which is great because it's not money out of your pocket, right? So, it's an interesting line, because there's still people that I know that are so, you know, they just want that contract. They just want to be part of it.
I think that it's a strange time, you know, where I mean, I think record labels are getting a lot of diss at the moment. But the truth is, record labels have also, as well as take lots of money off people, they've also utilized that money in lots of ways. You know, like Sia had Madonna, but then they'd also put out a Cabaret Voltaire record or six Talking Edge records that probably never made any money, you know, and that's kind of a system that is dead on that level. I think labels, yeah, people don't need labels, but they also add quality control, you know. There's a lot of bad records made in this world now that people are out there and go, "Have you heard that band? Yeah, they're absolutely rubbish." You know, there was a certain level of quality control which I think is missing these days. But having said that, you know, one man's chalk is another man's cheese.
Lastly, Travis Barker, are you familiar with Blink-182?
Yeah.
He right now is criticizing his fans because they're pissed that he's working with hip-hop people. And his fans are kind of not going against him, but they're like, "Why would you do that?" And to me, it's simple. And I don't know if it's like that with you guys, but you want to incorporate as much different genres and no hip-hop, no R&B, know whatever, whether it's, you know, violin or something, you know, because you use that all at your disposal, and that's only going to make you a better musician.
Well, the thing is, hip hop's great. So I mean, like, you know, if his fans don't like hip hop, then, you know, unlucky for them. You know what? You're trying to tell me you don't like Public Enemy? You know, you're trying to tell me you don't like Dr. Dre? You know, what's wrong with you? Travis Barker's got a chance to work with some cool hip hop dudes, and get in there and do it, man. You know, and anyway, I always say playing badminton makes you a better soccer player. So, you know, probably playing hip-hop is going to make him a better rock drummer. I don't know.
I think so, too. I only think that it's going to only benefit him.
Yeah, I mean, why should you be stuck to... That's like saying, you know, "I only eat cheese." You know, I've decided that I'm a cheese eater. All I'm going to eat is cheese. It's like, well, even if you're eating the greatest cheese in the world, after about 7 days of eating cheese, it's going to be boring. That geezer's been in Blink-182 for time. He's probably bored to shit of being in Blink-182. I would be. No disrespect. So Travis is probably thinking, yeah, he's got another band anyway, hasn't he, Travis?
Yeah.
You know, he's a pretty cool dude. I've met him. We met him, didn't we? Tour in Australia. You know, I like those guys. But, you know, they were young when they started that band. What, are you supposed to just do the same thing over and over again?
Isn't it just a ridiculous thing that's not even worth discussing?
Yeah, if their fans don't like that, then don't buy it. Don't listen to it. Burn all your Blink-182 records. I'm sure he'll be really bothered.
Oh my God, Bob's gone electric.
Travis Barker nearly died a couple of years ago. I'm sure he don't give a monkey's what anyone thinks about anything. I'm sure he wakes up every morning and goes, "Oh my God, I'm alive. Jesus Christ." Wasn't it Travis Barker had a plane crash? He's in a fucking plane crash. I think the last thing on his mind is thinking, "Oh my God,
my Blink-182 fans that, you know, bought all those B-sides and limited editions, I'm working now with this young rapper. They don't like it. Didn't talk like that, but I'm just putting it on him. Yeah, Kurt is working with a young rapper. It was in the plane crash. It fucked his voice up. You know, yeah. If Travis wants to work with hip-hop, wicked. I'll do some hip-hop shit with Travis. Give us a call, mate. We're all over it. We're all over everything. There's three types of music, man, in this world. Good, bad, indifferent. You know, I'm into good or bad. I'm not even into indifferent.
What are you going to do to get the hours to that next level, to quit from being... You know, the same thing over and over.
We're going to work with some hip-hop dudes.
Yeah, nice.
Exactly. We're working with Travis Barker at the moment. It sounds a bit like this. Well, you know, our new stuff is different. It's moving on. It's dancey. Some of it's dancey. Some of it sounds like Steve Reich. Some of it sounds like pumping...
Our fans really pissed off about it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, if you stand still, then you're still making "Girl, I Need Your Loving," and you know, I didn't write that one. No. I'm glad I didn't write it. It's rubbish. Yeah, I mean, you know, you gotta move on, man. You gotta be like a big solid oak tree. You've got strong roots, but you know, when the wind comes, you bend and you know you.
You
bend in shape and you change shape and you move on and your leaves fall off and then they grow again. I mean, that's what any great band does. I mean, have you heard Radiohead's latest record?
Yeah.
Do they think that the people that like Karma Police only bought the Coca computer into it? No. They probably haven't listened to a Radio album for 5 albums. Mm. You think Radiohead are worried about that? No. Do we love it? Yeah.
Although I was disappointed with King of Limbs, I will say that.
Yeah, I don't think it's mega, but the one before is mega.
Oh yeah.
But you know what? This is an imperfect. You know, it's not an exact science. You know, I'm sure if Tom York could write another song like Paranoid Android in the morning, then he would. I'm sure if Stevie Wonder could write another song like Superstition, he would. He hasn't written a good song in 28 years. It's still brilliant. You know, it's not an exact science what we're working with here, man. No one knows what they're doing, and that's an inspiration to anyone, to all of us, to any kids. To any kids that are listening to Travis Barker's new hip-hop projects who are 14, anyone can do it. Or no one can do it. No one knows how to do it. You know, if Beethoven could write a badass symphony as good as the Fifth, he would have. You know, but instead he went all pastoral and did the Sixth, which actually is a pretty badass piece, but there you go.
It's now time to find out the artist of the week. I'll give you guys some clues, and it's the final week, so we're going to go into the Legend series. Here are your guys' clues, okay?
I love you, by the way.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Hell yeah!
You're a dude.
You heard that here. That's an exclusive. Someone finally loves me. Here are your clues. He is only one of three artists to only ever sell 100 million albums. That's your first clue. All right? He was also a drummer and then a singer. Okay.
Phil Collins.
Damn you! You're not supposed to...
Oh!
I don't need any more clues.
As soon as I gave that one, I knew it. I was like,
I don't need any more clues from you, dude. It's me you're dealing with. I'm a Jedi. I was going to say, after the first one.
Were you really?
I was going to say Nana Mouskouri. She sold 300 million.
Yeah. Well, you had three choices, so...
I didn't need three choices, dude. I don't need three choices. Three choices. It Collins. That. It's Collins, man. He steps from the back to the front.
Well, check out the blog section on Friday and read about Phil Collins and why we selected him as the Legend of the Month on EnterTheShell.com.
Did I spoil your thing then?
No, well, you kind of did, but you know what? It was all in fun, so it doesn't matter. You know? It's like, hell yeah.
All I can say, yeah. You know, he fired his wife by fax, didn't he, Phil Collins? Yeah.
That's a good way to fire someone.
Yeah, fired her. I mean, you may as well call it firing because it's like he did it by fax. He fired his wife by fax.
What did it say? We're over? It's done?
It said, you are no longer going to be my wife. Wow. By fax. You know? Yeah. So, nice guy. Not!
I wonder if he put a cover letter with that or not.
Yeah, I wonder if he CC'd anyone.
It's now time for shout-outs. I'm going to give out some shouts. Do you guys have any shout-outs that you want to give out to anybody?
I'd like to give a shout-out to Travis Barker and say, keep doing what you're doing, Travis. I can't wait to hear it. And I'm serious.
Nice. You guys, shout-outs?
Shout-out to my mom. I love you.
I love that.
Yeah, Eden. Let's do it.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Shout out.
Just keep shouting. Come on, guys. I'm going
to give a shout out to Elizabeth Taylor.
I want to give a shout out to Brian Satner, who let us use the djembe. Thanks so much, Brian. You can go to after Refta. That's after backwards. Go to refta.com and check out what Brian has to say. Also, I'm going to give out some shout outs to the Hoser and Mary Lou Franzella. Yeah, and noho2.com, noho2 studio. What do you guys think of the studio?
I love it in here, man. It's vibrant. It's got life in it. You know what I really like? I like that above your crapper, as we call them in England, is like, you know, some leads. It's like a few things jutting out, some leads. You're utilizing the space there. You're thinking, you know, I could have, you know, a picture of some dogs up there, or, you know, grandmas having their dogs. But you're just like utilizing the space. I like it. It's a little like my house these days, because the studio's in my house, so you know, there's all kinds of crap everywhere. It's a working studio. It's got life in it.
Where is that studio at?
Not in my house in London.
In London? Nice. Maybe if I ever go out there, you can like invite me.
Of course, man. Whatever you want.
I use this show to like...
Cook your chili. I'm a badass cook these days. I only cook 5 dishes, but I do them well.
Yeah. Chili con carne, right? You're into
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
I love chili con carne.
Yeah, you're Mexican, dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're all over it like a rash.
Oh, I love it. You have no idea. What do you do? Tell me. What's your...
What do I do? Well, I get all the fresh gear, the fresh chilies, the organic beef. We get all the gear, the garlic. We crush it up, get it in there, get the onions. All the gear, mate.
Love it. How long do you let it
sit? Oh, for a while. And it's best the next day. We make a right old load of it, don't we?
Yeah. That's always the secret ingredient to chili con carne is the next day.
I love the way you say that.
Chili con carne.
I love it. How you go, yeah, man, the secret ingredient to chili con carne.
Hell yeah. The Mexican in me, man. Also, I want to give out a shout out to Stitcher Radio, Stitcher.com. We stream through phones, and log on to Stitcher.com for details on how you can get us. It's now time to bring out the Demoralizer 3000, and I'm going to say a few words, and it's going to tell us the moral of today's show. Inspirational, Vertebrae, David Grohl, The Hours, Flaming Lips, Holly in the Jungle, The Bathroom, and Leaves. If you'll open up the envelope and tell us the moral of today's show.
Demoralizer 3000, the moral for today's show is, some bitch filled my sink with salsa.
That'll happen with chili con carne sometimes.
Exactly.
That's going to do it for another edition.
Yeah. It's not strictly immoral. It's more like immoral.
The Hours have been my guest. Go visit them on their website, thehours.co.uk, and most importantly, go out, buy their albums, and support them, because you know what, like, that's what we need in this day and age is good music and inspirational music like you guys do that needs to be out and help inspire even more people, and in order to do that, buy their albums, please, and then they'll hopefully continue to make more and inspire us more. Do you guys have any last words?
Last words. Last words is don't think, go do it.
Cool. The last song is going to be Ali in the Jungle.
It is.
And thank you guys again for coming on.
Thanks for having us, man. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. But it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. Everybody gets knocked down.
what now? How quick are you gonna get up? Just how are you gonna get up? Like Ellie in the jungle, like Nelson in jail, like Simpson on the mountain. With odds like that, they were bound to fail. Like Heather in the darkness, like Adams in the dark, like Ludwig van. Oh, I love that man. Well, the guy went deaf and didn't give a damn, no. No, no, no. It's enough where you are, it's where you're going. Where are you going? But it's enough about the things you've done. It's what you're doing now. What are you doing now? Everybody gets knocked down. Everybody gets knocked down.
TheHours.co.uk. Check them out. We're out of here. Later.
Enter the shell.com. Thanks for distracting.